From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The deadly protests that toppled Bolivia's President Gonzalo Sanchez de Lozada last week had many roots, among them indigenous pride and widespread opposition to a government plan to export natural gas. But as NPR's Martin Costi reports from La Paz, another cause was a deep current of anti-Americanism.
Sociologist Silvia Rivera is a coca leaf enthusiast, and as she tromps through the streets of La Paz, she constantly dips into a plastic bag and adds a few of the dark green leaves to the wad already in her mouth. She says Americans have to understand that coca leaf is a fundamental part of Bolivian life.
And it's not just isolated, weird, exotic Indians who chew it. It's a very usual, normal, healthy, and legitimate consumption.
As she chews, a yellow-green rim forms around her mouth. A hunched old Indian woman spots Rivera's bag and calls out for some coca. Rivera stops and gives her a hatful. Speaking in the Indian language Aymara, the old woman tells Rivera that she depends on coca's mild stimulant to make the 8-mile uphill trek to her home in the slums every day. Native Bolivians have used coca for thousands of years to build endurance, kill hunger pangs, and even in religious rituals. But Rivera says the cultural importance of coca seems lost on American officials. She says they seem to regard it as nothing but the source of cocaine, and that they'll stop at nothing to wipe the plant out. This became clear to her last year when the then U.S. ambassador seemed to threaten to cut off aid to Bolivia if voters elected a prominent coca farmer politician as president. She says the ambassador's statement convinced many Bolivians to support the coca farmer.
It was an act of dignity to be sovereign against this viceroyal order.
The coca candidate, Evo Morales, finished a close second place in the presidential election. Dionisio Nunez is another coca farmer politician. He's a congressman from Yungas, the region where traditional coca is grown, but where illegal coca is also spreading fast. Nunez says his constituents despise the U.S.-sponsored policy of forcibly eradicating illegal coca plants.
Las fuerzas de represión antinarcótico, el que tiene financiamiento norteamericano y asesoramiento.
The anti-narcotics forces here, which have financing from the U.S. and get advice from the DEA, have created a situation in which many of our comrades have been killed, wounded, or just permanently oppressed.
U.S. officials say the coca leaf politicians benefit indirectly from the cocaine trade, and that their real purpose is to roll back the impressive gains made by eradication programs during the past two decades. Ambassador David Greenlee recalls what the Bolivian countryside looked like when he worked here in the 1980s.
It was wall-to-wall coca bushes. It looked like vineyards in the Napa Valley or something like that. Today you go in there, what you see is alternative development. You see banana, you see pineapple. You have to fly a long way to find coca.
Greenlee says eradication of what he calls excess coca is U.S. policy, and that policy is not about to change. Still, the presence of DEA agents and countless American alternative development programs has made Bolivians nervous. During the recent uprisings, the country was awash with rumors that American forces were giving tactical help to the Bolivian troops battling the protesters. Greenlee denies U.S. personnel were involved in any operational way, but he admits cargo planes used in the coca eradication program were placed at the disposal of the Bolivian government, which used them to fly tear gas, riot gear, and other supplies into the besieged capital.
Remember that our posture, our position, and I'm not apologetic about this, was to support constitutional government. It was constitutional government under threat and under siege. Governments should be able to defend themselves.
During this month's riot, the embassy made forceful public statements supporting the president, something many protesters say made them more determined to oust him. Since Sanchez y Lozada fled the country last week, the embassy has kept a low profile, and one gets the sense that the U.S. was caught backing the loser in what amounted to a revolution. Martin Costi, NPR News, La Paz.